As we look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, beginning, we're going to be looking at verse 15 through 21. What we're going to find is that how the believer walks day by day throughout life is crucial. It's a crucial to the cause of Christ, and not only to the cause of Christ, but to the welfare of society. In other words, he or she either contributes to the building up of society or the tearing down of society. And so it's important that the believer walk carefully, walk strictly throughout life. It's very important that we do that. And so in verse 15 through verse 21, we're going to see some five things that we should be doing in these verses. So when you look at verse 15, what we find is that one of the things we need to be doing is looking around and watching every step. Look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And so life is a walk then. Life is a path that we trod every day. And so when we arise in the morning, when we begin to walk about, God expects us to walk circumspectly. God expects us to walk carefully. God expects us to walk accurately. And so when you look at the word circumspectively, the word circumspectively, it means, again, carefully. It means accurately. It means exactly. It means diligently. And so all of those things describe circumspectively. And so this is saying that we walk on the narrow path, the path that leads to everlasting life. And the reason that we need to walk on this narrow path, because when you go back to Matthew chapter 7, and let's go back to Matthew chapter 7, that's why it's important to walk that straight and narrow way. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." In verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And I don't know about you, I want to be a part of that few that find that narrow path. And I hope you feel the same. And so that's why when you go back to Ephesians, he talks about that. He says that, "See then that you walk." If you want to be able as he said, walk through that narrow gate and that leads to life everlasting, then you go back and you see that this is how you need to walk then. This is how you need to walk each and every day. And so he says you walk circumspectively. You walk carefully. But then why? Because walk circumspectly, how? How do we need to walk? He calls on and he says, not as fools, but as wise. So how do we need to walk? Well, there are two kinds of persons who walk throughout life. They are the unwise and they are the wise. And so we have to look and see within ourselves, what am I? Am I walking through life wise? Or am I walking through life unwise? See, the unwise is the person who gives thought about He gives little thought about where he should go and where he should go. He just rises up in the morning and goes to work and goes about their daily routine with little thought about God and what happens beyond life. They don't think about. They don't think about beyond this life. I'm trying to get all I can get in this life. The unwise person is not concerned about watching every step and being alert to every temptation and pitfall of life. That's the unwise person. But the wise person is on a mission. The wise person, he knows God personally. And not only does he know God personally, but he wants to live a righteous life because he knows what's beyond this life. As a life that's called heaven, that he's trying to get to that place. And so when he wakes up in the morning, he goes to work and he goes about their daily affairs and they walk in the presence and into the praise of God. They are thankful that God allowed them to see another day. And so as they walk, their thoughts upon God all day. And so that's what our mind should be stayed. I think there's a song that says, a mind is stayed on Jesus. Our mind should always be stayed on Jesus. And so you think about God all day. The wise man, not only concerned about the every steps of life that he takes, but he struggles to watch every step to make sure that he walks throughout life exactly, strictly, and disciplined and controlled. And so he walks every day realizing that, hey, this could be the last day that I have upon the face of the earth. And so if this is the last day, and if God calls me today, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I don't want to just get ready, but I want to already be ready for when he calls, for when he comes. So I'm conscious of how I live. I'm conscious of what I do every day because it's all about pleasing. It's all about pleasing God. And so he knows the only answer to the evil problems in this world and the struggles in this world. He knows the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. So that person knows. And so Paul, he commands all believers to walk as wise men. And so, in other words, you walk in humility. You walk in unity. You walk in love and light, because we know Jesus. He is the light. And we also walk in wisdom. And if we lack wisdom, we ask who? God. God is the one who gives us the wisdom that we need. And so we are to live like this way. And so in Christ, we have to understand what we are: one, we are love, we are light, we are wise, and what we do should correspond. What we do should correspond of who we are. Of who we are. If we claim to be a Christian, if we claim that, hey, that I'm trying to imitate Christ, then that's how we need to be walking. That's how we need to be living. Our life should correspond to the way that we are. So he says now, the first thing we have to do is continue to look around and watch every step. Then the second thing that we should be doing is in verse 16. Redeeming the time. Look at verse 16. Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. We're living in some evil days. We're living in some evil times. And we need to be redeeming the time. In other words, what we need to be doing is making the most of every opportunity that God gives us. And so we have to understand that. So when you look at the word the time, what time means, it denotes a fixed, measured, allocated season. Time denotes a fixed, allocated, measured season. And so what we need to be doing is that we are to make the most of our time on this earth. Doing what? Fulfilling God's purpose. Because that's what it's all about. In Ecclesiastes, he says, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is it? Fear God and keep his commandment. This is the whole duty of man. So our purpose here on this earth is to fulfill God's purpose, lining up every opportunity for useful worship, useful service. And so we have to make the most of every opportunity that comes our way. And so we have to understand that. So he says now, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. And so that's why it tells us why do we need to redeem the time. Because in the time that we're living in the day that we're living in, it's evil on every hand. You know, you can just walk down the street, you see evil. You know, you go, you're at work, you see evil. You know, evil is all around us. And so we need to be redeeming the time and make use of our time, because none of us knows how long we're going to live upon the face of this earth. None of us don't know when our number is going to be full. And guess what? It could be full tonight. And so every day, we should be living as though this was the last day that we have upon the face of this world. And every day that we arise out of our beds, we need to make the most of the opportunity that God has given us. And it's very important that we do that. And so we have an opportunity. We have opportunities to do good, don't we? And so we need to be about not only doing good, but we need to be about lifting one another up every day, cherishing what we have while we have it. Because guess what? It can be taken away from us, or we can be taken away from it. And so cherish life, cherish opportunities, cherish relationships, because we don't know when this is going to be our last opportunity. And so we have an opportunity to do something for his name and for his glory, and so we should do so with all that we have. Put our best into it, because every moment of every day should be filled with good things. Y'all listen, we have enough bad things. I think life, you know, every day should be moments that fill with good things, things, you know, righteous, and things that glorify God. And so when you're doing things, is this pleasing? What am I about to do? Is it pleasing to God? Because guess what? I want to walk circumspectly every day, not as fools, but as wise. I want to be wise. I want to be profitable, productive. And so, because what happens is, a lot of time we have too much time on our hands. Sometimes people have too much time on their hand. And guess what? When you got too much time on your hand and you're not involved in productive things, guess what you're going to be involved in? You know. So use the time. Use the time that you have. And you know, because if you're not productive, you're going to end up getting in some sin. You're going to end up getting in some trouble. And so you don't want that, because you always keep in the front of that, I want to go through that. I want to enter through that narrow gate that leads to life. And so in order for me to do that, this is how I got to walk. This is how I got to live. I got to be productive. And so we see that. So do something good for God. Every day, do something good. You know, it's not always, be an encouragement. Do whatever it is. Do something good for God. And so we have to understand what? By looking around and we walking and watching every step. Secondly, by redeeming the time, verse 16. And then the third thing that we see is by understanding the Lord's will. So look at verse 17. In verse 17 he says, wherefore be ye not unwise. In verse 7, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now when you look at this word, that wherefore, when you look at that word wherefore, what he's talking about here is that he looks back to the evil days in verse 16. So when he says that, and you go back to verse 16, he says what? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Since the days are evil, wherefore? Since you know that the days are evil, then there's something you need to be doing. Wherefore be ye not unwise. Now, we've already talked about what happens if you're unwise. You're not thinking. You're really not thinking about, you know, what's going on today. I'm just living today, you know. And so now he says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so we have to understand. We have to begin to understand what the will of the Lord is. And how do you understand that? Well, you're going to have to get in the Bible. You're going to have to study His Word. That's how you know what His will is. You study. You get into His Word, and it talks about that. And so what we have here, when you look at it, you have both the unwise man and the wise man are defined in this verse. All right? The unwise man is a man who does not understand the will of God. The wise man is a man who understands the will of God, of the Lord. And so the wise man is a man who, yes, he does understand. And so the word understand, basically when I'm talking about understand, and what the Bible talks about understanding, it means to grasp. It means to grasp. It means to perceive. It means to see with the mind. It means to comprehend. So as you study in the scriptures, you learn to comprehend what this scripture is talking about. But then not only comprehend and grasp it, you apply it to your life. You know, you understand the scripture. What is it saying? What is it saying to me? How do I need to apply this to my life. All right? So as we see that, how do we apply this to our lives? We apply it by knowing that, number one, that I am to redeem the time. And the reason I redeem the time is because I'm living in some evil days. And I cannot be the unwise person who doesn't know the will of God. I need to be wise in knowing what God wants me to do. And the only way that I'm going to know it is I'm going to have to read it, study it, and apply it to my life. All right? So we do that. So again, how can a person know what the will of the Lord is? You study. You study. Because the wise will seek the will of God. The wise will do what it takes. And they'll do it. You know, it's important that you, you know, not just pick up this Bible just on Sunday. Or don't even have one, just come to church and get one out of it. No. You study every day. Every day you should be learning something. Every day you should be applying something to your life to help you to be better. Better Christian, better people. And so it comes by, and that's understanding. This is what God wants me to do. God wants me, so understand, God wants me to be wise. So you already understand what God wants you to do, right? Understand the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is you need to be wise. You need to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. So you begin to see then you understanding what his will is. And so because a lot of people, you know, they'll tell you, you know, I would do the will of God if I knew what the will of God was for my life. Guess what? That's an opportunity to help somebody to understand the will of God for their life. Because there are a lot of people that are searching. There are a lot of people that they're looking. They're looking now more than ever. Where can I find comfort? Because we're living in some times that people are leaving this world. Where can I find comfort? Where can I find hope? That's an opportunity for us to tell folks you can find it in Jesus. You can find what you need in the Word of God. And so that's what the wise man, that's what the wise man do. So my suggestion not only to you, but your suggestion to be to them is that let's study the Word of God. Because this is where you're going to understand. This is where you're going to see what God wants you to do. The will of God. It's when you study the Word of God. And then as you study the Word of God, you find the will of God. All right, that makes sense. You find the will of God when you study the Word of God. And so by knowing the Word of God, by studying the Word of God, then you can apply the Word of God to situations that you are confronted with every day. And guess what? We all are confronted with something every day. And so the Word of God is there to help us to confront things that we are dealing with. If you feel like you're the only one, man, I'm seeing like I'm all by myself, guess what? The Word of God, well, it's a situation. God said, I never leave you. Y'all see that? Nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, and I think in verse number 5, he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Matthew. See what you do? As you stand in the Word, you can find those scriptures that can be a comfort to you. When you're going through whatever situation you're going through. You know, David found comfort in, you know, Psalm 23 is a very comforting passage of scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He directs my path. Verse number 6. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It's a very comforting scripture. Then when you feel like you can't find you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So what we have to do then is that we got to begin to get the word in us that when we come across some situations and things that we are confronted with, guess what? We got something in us that can help us to overcome the situations that we find ourselves in. But if you never study the Word of God, if you never get into the Word of God, when you are confronted with a situation, what you're going to do is you're going to panic. And not only panic, oh Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, how am I going to get out of this situation? But then when you have the Word of God, you already know how you, because didn't God bring you out before? He brought you out of a situation. Then God is the same God that can bring you out another one. So that's why, that's how you continue to understand the will of God when you're faced with some things. And we all have been faced with situations in our lives. And we can look back, and all of us can look back over our lives. And there's no question about it. You might say, well, how did I get through that? You already know how you got through it. It was the Lord. You relied upon the Lord to get you through. And so we know the Word of God. And knowing it, we can apply it to our situation. We can apply it to things that we are confronted with each and every day. And so the wise believer, he knows that only in the Lord, only in the Lord, the will and the power can anything good and lasting be accomplished. When you look at Romans 8 and verse 28, that's a very familiar passage of scripture, isn't it? We know it. I guess we know it. And we know. See, that already has a word in there that says no, right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, those who are called according to his purpose. So those are the things that we need to be involved in. And so by being wise, you won't be unwise. Make sense? You won't be unwise. In other words, you know, you won't be foolish just running around just every day, man. I'm running here, I'm running there, I'm doing this. I never stop just for a minute to know who God is. I'm busy doing this, I'm busy doing that. Somewhere along the line, if you don't slow down, God will slow you down. And so sometimes we got to take time. We got to make time to see what God's will really is. And so we have to understand that because we can get so involved in a lot of things, it can lead to burnout. And a lot of us know what burnout is, right? We've been there. I've been there, and I was burnt out. And so it can lead to that. It can lead to discouragement. And so the unwise believer who behaves like this, man who, you know, just tries to function apart from God, guess what? You're going to become weak. You're going to become weak. You're going to become frustrated. You're going to become ineffective. Because guess what? You're trying to run ahead of God instead of let God lead us. Don't ever try to run ahead of God, because guess what? When you run ahead of God, you don't know where you're going. I believe Jeremiah said that, oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walketh to direct his own steps. You can't even direct your own steps without the Lord. So don't run ahead of him. You stay behind him. Understand what his will really is. All right? And so as we look at that, and see, verse 18, the reason I helped off tonight, because it's going to take a little bit to help you to understand verse 18. Okay? And so I don't have through 2 minutes. I can't explain verse 18 in 2 minutes. All right? So we're going to be looking at that because it's very important when you look at this word drunkenness. And we know what it is, but what is Paul? What is Paul trying to get us to understand here? Because you have to understand, when you're reading this, you got to understand what was taking place back then, you know, in the religion back then, and what was taking place with that. So we're going to pick back up with verse number 18, Lord's willing, on next Wednesday, when he says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein it excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And so what this text is doing is taking a turn. It's switching us. It's helping us. It's introducing us to one of the most crucial texts relating to the Christian living and the manner he should be walking. So that's what this text is going to be about. So come next week and we'll be continue to press on in Ephesians chapter 5. All right. So I'm going to be going again over the prayer request list.